Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dr. Reddy's Q1 FY17 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. If you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kedar Upadhye. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
A very good morning and good evening to all of you. Thank you for joining us today for Dr. Reddy's earnings call for the first quarter of fiscal 2017. Earlier during the day, we have released our results, and the same are also posted on our website. We are conducting a live webcast of this call, and a transcript shall be available on our website soon. Just a reminder, the discussion and analysis in this call will be based on IFRS consolidated financial statements. To discuss the business performance and outlook, we have the leadership team of Dr. Reddy's comprising Saumen Chakraborty, our Chief Financial Officer, Abhijit Mukherjee, our Chief Operating Officer, and the investor relations team. Please note that today's call is copyrighted material of Dr. Reddy's and cannot be rebroadcasted or attributed in press or media outlet without the company's express written consent. Before we proceed with the call, I would like to remind everyone about the safe harbor. This discussion will contain certain forward-looking statements, which are based on management's current beliefs and expectations and involve a number of known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause our future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. For more detailed information on the risks and uncertainties associated with the company's business activities, please see the company's annual report filed in Form 20-F with the U.S. SEC for the year ended March 31, 2016, and the quarterly financial statements filed in Form 6-K with U.S. SEC for the quarters ended June 30, 2015, September 30, 2015, and December 31, 2015, and our other filings with the U.S. SEC. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Saumen Chakraborty, our CFO.
Thank you, Kedar. Greetings to everyone. Let me begin with key financial highlights. For this section, all the amounts are translated to U.S. dollar at the convenience translation rate of rupees 67.51, which is the rate as of 30th June 2016. Consolidated revenues for the quarter at rupees 3,235 crores or $479 million and declined by 14% year-on-year. Revenues from our global generic segment are $395 million and PSI segment is $70 million. Overall, the decline in revenues is largely impacted by the lower revenues from North America generics and API businesses, as well as loss of sales from Venezuela. North America generic business witnessed increased competitive intensity in some of the key molecules, primarily valganciclovir and azacitidine. Further, we also witnessed pricing pressure and moderation in the volumes uptake. As discussed earlier, the PSI performance continues to be impacted by delay in dispatches on account of the ongoing quality improvement initiatives. Consolidated gross profit margin for the quarter is 56.2%, recording a year-on-year decline of around 490 basis points. As discussed earlier, increased competitive intensity for our key assets in generic business impacted the decline. Gross margins for global generics and PSI were at 61.3% and 24.1% respectively. SG&A spend, including amortization for the quarter, is $182 million, an increase by 12% year-on-year. As guided in our previous call, we continue to incur expense towards the ongoing quality improvement initiatives and also sizable outlay towards launch-related activities by our proprietary products business with respect to GEMBLX and Sernebock. Normalized for these changes and also the decreased spend base from Venezuela operations, the balance net increase in SG&A is largely attributable to normal salary increments and headcount increase. R&D expense for the quarter at $71 million, representing 14.8% to revenues. This spend is in line with the ongoing set of developmental activities as planned. During the coming quarter, we will initiate further development of the recently in-licensed IP R&D assets from Genoport and Isai. On Venezuela, we have not received any repatriations during the quarter to date, and hence we continue to measure the financial statements of the Venezuelan operations at the current DICOM rate. EBITDA for the quarter stands at $59 million, which is 12.3% of the revenues. Effective tax rate for the quarter is at 26%. However, we expect the annual effective tax rate to be in the range of 21 to 22%. Key balance sheet highlights are as follows. Our operating working capital further decreased by $58 million during the quarter. Capital expenditure for the quarter was at $48 million. During the quarter, we concluded our share buyback program and thereafter ended the quarter with a net debt to equity ratio of 0.11. Foreign currency cash flow hedges for the next 9 months in the form of derivatives and loans for US dollar are approximately $228 million, largely hedged around the range of rupees 66 to rupees 71.1 to the dollar. In addition, we have balance sheet hedges of $191 million. We also have foreign currency cash flow hedges of ruble $825 million at the rate of rupees 0.99 to the ruble, and euro 4.5 million, largely hedged around rupees 75 to rupees 82.05 to the euro, maturing over next 9 months. Effective this quarter, we are presenting the consolidated financial information under IFRS and Ind AS, and standalone financial information under Ind AS. You would notice that the PBT under IFRS is marginally lowered by rupees 35 crore relative to that presented under Ind AS. This is primarily arising from higher depreciation and amortization expense under IFRS, resulting from a differential fair value base, and also the treatment of the gain arising on fair valuation of the mutual fund investments. Before I conclude, as some of you are already aware, Kedar Upadhyay, after his 12-year stint with us, has decided to pursue his career outside Dr. Reddy's. So following the Sonok Savla, member of the investor relations team, will now lead the IR function. With this, I now request Abhijit to take us through the key business highlights.
Thank you, Soumen. Greetings to everybody and welcome on all on this earnings conference call. Overall, the performance of the quarter has been quite muted. It reflects the adverse impact of competitive dynamics on the U.S. business, impact of ongoing remediation activities on the API business, and no contribution from Venezuela in the current quarter. Overall, this has been a challenging quarter, and necessary steps are being taken to get back the growth momentum. I will dwell upon each of these business in details going ahead. We continue to focus on key priority areas of quality improvement initiatives, execution of launches, and strengthening of the pipeline. Now, let me take you through some of the business highlights for each of our key markets. Please note that in the section, all references to numbers are in respective local currencies. Our North America revenues are $237 million and declined 20% year-on-year. The decline captures the full quarter impact of competitive challenges in some of our key assets. Further, pricing pressure as well as moderation in volume offtake was noticed across RX and OTC products. Against this tide, we consolidated our market share position in Osomeprazole. Recently, you would have noticed our approval and launch of Omeprazole and sodium bicarbonate capsules. We hope to see further improvement in approval rates and launches in this year. On the emerging market front, there has been a fair bit of stabilization in the macro situation. Crude is more stable, and so is the impact on major EM currencies. Russia business in ruble terms grew by 23% year-on-year and was stable sequentially. Teams continue their efforts in terms of optimizing the productivity and meaningful additions to the portfolio. As for IMS, YTD 2016, our volumes have grown by 6.5% versus the market growth of 0.5%. Consequent to the Reuters approval in Russia, we are working towards pricing approvals and preparation for tender participation. As explained earlier, we did not have any revenues in Venezuela. We will continue to actively engage with the Venezuelan government to provide affordable medicines to fulfill the needs of the people of Venezuela, but with an assurance of payments. India business revenues are 522 crore and grew 10% year-on-year. This was primarily due to the prevalent confusion in the market consequent to frequent NPA pricing notifications that were experienced in this quarter. As per IMS, MQT June 2016, we grew by 11.6% versus market growth of 8.8%. Team continues to focus on increasing the productivity and augmenting the portfolio. PCI business posted revenues of 71 million and declined 21% year-on-year. This decline is primarily attributable to the delayed dispatches on account of ongoing remediation activities, coupled with some amount of moderation in the offtake of key customers. On the proprietary side, we have launched Zembrace and Cernivo. These brands are gradually getting the traction. On the ongoing remediation activities, we believe most of the commitments made by us to the agency have been duly addressed. And in this quarter, we wish to meet the agency to discuss the progress and request for a re-inspection. With this, I open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. All are requested to please limit the question to two at a time. If time permits, we will come back to you should you have further more questions. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Is it correct that all of the remediation cost is pretty much done in this quarter as we're close to completion of the remediation, and what was that amount?
So it is pretty much done. So far we would have spent altogether around $36 million. And I think it could be a couple of million more in future.
Noted. And secondly, we also mentioned, you know, launch-related activity for the proprietary portfolio, the two products that you've launched. Will this be lumpy and therefore a lot of it was in the first quarter as we go, or is this recurring in nature? I understand that some of it would be recurring, but if you could give us a breakup, that would be helpful.
Yeah, so we have Anil Namudripat from Property Product Business in the call. So I will ask him to respond to this question.
Yeah, so as with any new launches with proprietary products in the U.S., there are some upfront costs that are associated with the launch. Most of the costs are associated with market conditioning as well as building awareness, trial, and usage of the product. We have an upfront cost associated with the launch, but going forward, once we've established the awareness trial and inculcated usage, then the costs are going to be significantly lower in coming years.
So it is fair to believe that this amount will therefore continue for a few more years than the one related to proprietary products.
Part of it will continue for some more years. Yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. I have more questions, but we'll get back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agrawal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so one question on the US sales. Can you explain your comment on lower volume offtake in the US this quarter? Is this particularly referring to the oral solids or injectable portfolio?
So when assets see competitive challenge, there are two ways one deals with it. Either you match the competitive price and keep the account, or you give up the account, right? So either way, you have either a price erosion or a volume erosion. And so the total financial difference what you see is an outcome of both. But primarily it is due to the competitive challenges. Yeah.
Okay, so that's clear. And just a clarity on the US sales this quarter. Is there any impact of shelf stock adjustment for sales booked in previous quarter and impact of higher price erosion on those sales which is flowing through in full in this quarter? Or is this...
There is no one-time big impact.
So you mean that like $237 million sales, let's say if there is no more approval, largely the subsequent quarter sales are going to be around, this is more like becomes a base number for us?
Yeah, of course, with a new product launch, it is going to go up from here. That's what we can hope.
Yeah, there is, you know, some supply-related adjustment, but not a very big one to be taken out.
So yeah, only thing you would like to talk about SafePort?
And the other issue which I would, since you asked the question, there's also, you know, with we had been working with McNeil when they had their problem for last few years, and there have been, you know, some contract work which we had been doing for the last few years. So that contract is getting to an end. It's tapering off. First quarter was still there, and there it's going to virtually it's tapering off from this quarter. The bottom line impact, you know, give or take, will be in the range of about $25 million dollars per year annualized. So just to sort of put that on record, base business broadly, you can take this, you know, plus, give or take a little bit here or there.
Sorry, sir, I was not, when you mentioned about this contract, you mentioning about the Shreveport work that you do
yes.
Include as part of US sales?
Yeah.
Yes.
But Shreveport sales for us were almost like $50 million. So are you saying that we'll have no sales from that facility?
We have a lot of own products from Shreveport. Several. I mean, those will be pretty much intact. But there was a contract with McNeil for the last few years on so that is getting to an end.
Okay, sure. And just a sub question of this only, that would the now we had a high market share in Nexium. Would this quarter would have captured the almost good part of the Nexium, or this was only partly captured, and we are going to see still some benefit in Nexium in subsequent quarters?
The current market share is 15. There is at least, I think, still an effort for a fair market share a little bit more. The discussions are on. Whether it will succeed or not, we don't know. But, you know, active discussions are on. But otherwise, based on 15%, we are pretty much close to it.
No, he is asking.
Yeah.
The whole quarter was reflective of that,
more
or it was
less.
Part?
More or less.
Okay, sure. I'll join back. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nimesh Mehta from Research Delta Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. First question is related to the foreign exchange loss that we have booked because of Venezuela translation losses. So if we, you know, if we adjust for that losses in the other expenses line item, we see that the other expenses have reduced drastically. Is that a proper observation, or I'm missing something here? And if yes, then what is the reason?
You are talking about this quarter, what you have taken in Venezuela?
This quarter, yeah. I guess it is about 380.
What are the, you know, DICOM rate, which was 272 in the last quarter end, has become 630 during this quarter. So the corresponding impact of that is around 7.5 crore. So we had, after the provision that has been taken in Q4, we had roughly around 15 crore in our Venezuela subsidiary. So out of which 7.5 is now gone. So balance 7.5 will be there.
Now, I'm referring to one of your notes which mentioned about 300 plus crores of impact because of translation losses due to Venezuela, which may be one time.
So this basically, if you're looking sequentially, then last quarter, Q4 FY16, we had this Venezuela related adjustment also in the forex line. So that was a quantum amount of around 400 plus crores. On similar lines, right now it is around 7.5-8 crores.
It is not 300 plus crores, because that is what I read in the notes to accounts that you mentioned. 348 or 384 crores, you know, for this quarter is what I saw.
So that would be on a standalone basis. But when we look at the consolidated financial statements, the Q4 FY16 included around 430 crores of loss, which on similar lines, so is around 7.5-8 crores right now.
Okay, fair point. The other question is related to our Shreveport facility. If you can let us know what is the status of the facility, was it an OAI status, or what is it, if you can confirm or, you know, validate?
No, so there was a, you know, lot of questions in between. We reached out to the inspector. We she's confirmed in writing that it is a VAI, as she had exactly communicated at the end of the audit. So I don't think there is a concern, at least based on the way we have received the mail from the inspector.
So it's a VAI as of now, right?
Yes, VAI, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Manoj Garg from HealthCo. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. First off, let me also express my congrats to Kedar as he transitions to his new role outside of the company, and thank him for all of your help over the years. I have a couple of questions. I'd like to start on North American pricing. You cite pricing pressure as a key source of weakness. Some of your competitors that have already announced in the U.S., namely Teva and Sandoz, have pointed to about mid-single-digit pricing erosion during the last quarter, which is actually a moderation from previous quarters. So can you quantify your pricing pressure within your portfolio? And I would imagine that this is largely being exacerbated by the inability to launch new price offsetting products. But maybe if you could quantify the pricing erosion.
So the erosion in pricing will be different from company to company, quarter to quarter, depending on what sees competitive, ingress into the market. So in this specific quarter, I mean, the full impact of Valsite going generic was the major impact, and also Vidaza saw some impact. Dacogen was a little earlier, but since there is some share consolidation as well. So quite a few of our important assets have seen the erosion in this quarter. Specifically, in this quarter, on the base business, it is in double digit for us. But having said that, this will vary from company to company, quarter to quarter.
Okay, within this 16% decline in the U.S., can you break that down in price versus volume?
All right. So let me again, I just was explaining that when you see competitive intelligence, competitive pressure, you see in most of your accounts. So you retain some, you give up some. The ones you give up is a volume reduction. Once you retain is a price erosion. So you should see overall the impact, and a very large part of the quarter-on-quarter price decline is due to the North American reduction, and you know the rest is emerging markets and India, NLEM, and such and so on and so forth. But probably about 70-75% of the difference is from North American price volume erosion.
Okay, that's helpful. And then on remediation, you said it's, so your remediation efforts or the cost associated with the remediation efforts should start to decline from here on out. And I think you just alluded to that you received some sort of notice of a VAI. Can you just expand on that in terms of, you know, the timing of that notice and what you expect in terms of FDA interactions or FDA inspections in the near term here?
So let me clarify. The question asked previously was regarding a specific site and has nothing to do with the three impacted sites. So that was an independent question on the VI, which I answered. So let me clarify. That was about Shreveport. Regarding remediation, Soumen mentioned, about between 35 to 40 million is the total expense. It has more or less tapered off this quarter, and because we have completed most of the commitments, some of the long-term commitments will be continuing. That will be internal. So, for all practical purposes, that amount which I said between the last three quarters have played out.
Okay, and then I'll get back in the queue. But lastly, on the Teva Allergan generics portfolio that you acquired. I think seven are pending ANDAs and one isn't approved. Can you provide any color here as to when we can start, expecting some revenue contribution from, the seven pending ANDAs? I mean, are they, how far along are they in the review process?
Okay. So even the one approved is a settled. It's approved but settled, so it's not going to into launch immediately. But an overall basis from next financial year onwards, we are hopeful of seeing few approvals. Of the eight assets, two are very meaningful, and the rest are okay, about, five oral solids, one topical, one drug device, and another a film type of a product. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So next question is from the line of Chirag Dalati from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. First question, when do you expect the Teva deal to complete, and post-completion should we expect an increase in amortization charge?
So it may get closed in next couple of weeks, subject to the FTC approval. All probability it may get closed in next couple of weeks. Now, this will be an in process, so it will be a amortization will only happen once the revenue starts coming in.
Okay, fair enough. And secondly, on the $25 million the McNeil contract that you talked about, so were any revenues from McNeil contract booked in this quarter, and when does it exactly expire?
Yeah, we booked something in this quarter, but it more or less starts tapering off from now in the next two quarters. It's a small part of it will continue, but most of it is first quarter was almost let's say 70% of a full run rate which was booked, and then here onwards it starts depleting.
Okay. Thanks. I have more questions. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. Abhijit, your comments are a little confusing to me when you say that the quarter captures the full impact of the erosion in the key assets. And I say that because to the best of my knowledge, I think Vidaza competitive thing happened only by the middle of May, so it should be maybe the 6 weeks impact. Second, sumatriptan auto injector would actually happen in July, so that should be the new hit that you would see in the current quarter. So maybe you have not seen the worst of the hits. And at the same time, when you talk of the benefits of generic Nexium, and you said that the quarter captures a full quarter impact of 15% market share, again, the IMS data says that you practically had negligible market share until middle of May, and it's only then that you ramped it up to double digits. So your comment seems to be quite incongruous from a timing perspective.
Okay, so let me sort of deal with each one of those. So yes, about when we are saying full quarter of for couple of assets which earlier played out, some of it is part of it. Yeah, so some of it, especially Imitrex, would still to come, we've seen some of it. So to that extent, you're right, some of it has played out, some more will happen, although this month's sale it seemed to be a little higher than our expectation. So yes, my comment was more general. This some overflow into the subsequent quarter will happen. To that extent, I agree to what you're saying. The second point which you mentioned on, what is the point, Samir?
Esomeprazole,
yes. Esomeprazole, market share and revenues are not fully limited. When you get in, you tend to load a little bit. That's how the customers take. So yes, it could be a little higher, but I wouldn't be able to exactly give you absolute every breakup of every $1 million, but there wouldn't be too much of upside on that actually.
Abhijit, the second question here is that you have loaded up the entire erosion in the US to these two products, saying a competitive risk. But if I see the sequentially, your U.S. revenues are down roughly $50 million. If I annualize it, it's about $200 million. And if I'm not wrong, then both these assets, Valsite and Vidaza, full year sales for you, I think, is roughly about give or take $100 million each. So what you're in effect implying is that both these products have gone zero, or the story is actually a lot beyond these two.
No, story is not a lot beyond these two. Valsite is a big hit. It used to be more like 120 million down to, say, 40 million. But, if you exactly add asset per asset, you'll probably get some part of it. There would be, in general, always, some competitive pressure coming in the base businesses. We keep also gaining a few which sort of keep on nullifying some of these. It's possible that there are a few additional hits this quarter which may not play out to the fullest extent in the subsequent quarter. So beyond this, I wouldn't be able to give you. This is a little dynamic, this market, so it's a little dynamic. So you take the big assets, those are irreversible. And I agree with you, Imtrex and will probably come in to a certain extent. Injectables, it happens a little slowly because the GPOs are contracted out for a longer period, especially for Vidaza and things of that sort. And hence, it will happen, but not happen the way it happens in oral solids. So between these, you'll have to work your figures out.
What are the two R&D phase 3 trials that you plan to start for Xenoport and Eisai? What do you think is going to be your, on a 12-month basis, cash burn to do these two trials?
So, very early to make a complete estimate, but it could be anywhere between, say, $20 to $25 million. For the year, this year.
For each asset?
No, combined.
Okay. Well, Abhijit, with your permission, one more question. It looks like your quarter, you know, your EBITDA has almost halved and your profit, net profit has almost got decimated. And really speaking here, it's the negative operating leverage which is in play, which is that you have lost sales, but your cost remains at the same level. So just your just a comment that do you see your ₹32 billion sales going up back to ₹38 billion and you restore the net profits? Or B, do you think you have the flexibility in a short order of time to take your costs down so that we, you get back to 400-500 crore profit levels?
So efforts would be on both sides, but you know, in a company where it's largely innovation-based business model, to you know, drastically cut anything would be not the right thing to do, and we don't intend to do that. While having said that, there is you know, to look at hygiene reduction of costs, and as you know, program is on at the moment as we speak, you know, with a consultant as well in, and we are looking very seriously into it. Coming back to the increase in sales, the, you know, broadly the emerging markets, whatever had to play out has played out. So each of, by quarter on quarter, that, those two, including India, will keep increasing. The launches in both North America and US will define how we sort of claw back to the full level, and if we get, it all depends on if you are able to crack a couple of big assets, then the whole story turns very quickly to the other side. But we'll see how it unfolds. But yes, focus on essentially launching, getting sales back. You know, that will be the key thing.
And which are the big assets that you have in mind?
You never fail to ask these questions.
I think we so, let's not discuss.
Yeah, I know. He knows I'm not going to answer those. But yeah, I mean the same thing. Some launches this quarter, mid-sized assets. The big ones in public domain, you know there is litigation amongst on one or two assets. The ones not in litigation, I wouldn't be commenting on.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just more color on the US FDA remediation measures and the cost that you just spoke about. You know, total cost being $36 million. Last quarter, you commented about $20 million in the 4Q. So, incrementally, about $16 million has been spent, and what's the outlook for the cost and on the FDA remediation, sir?
So approximately, you are right. And your other question was in terms of status of remediation?
No, so how do we look forward? So this, you said around this quarter, we'll be having the meeting.
Going forward, it will be much lower. As I said, you know, just a few million dollars more. That's all.
Yeah, and on the US FDA, so we expecting the meeting this quarter?
Yeah.
And then any broad expectations in terms of resolving and getting back our U.S., you know, approvals and API sales back?
We can't speculate on that. So let's have the meeting, then we will thereafter tell you what is the outcome of the meeting.
But from a percentage perspective, remediation measures done till what extent, sir?
Very high, you know, closer to...
We are almost done. 98%. And percentage will not give the right... So essentially, everything what was committed has been done. What the institutionalization of activities, which are ongoing, which will always continue, right? I mean, so we are about to send out the letter with a request for reinspection, you know, very soon.
Okay, thanks for that. And second question on India and ROW markets. So India, if I'm not wrong, UCB assets closed out at the end of this, you know, last year around June, so would not have captured. So despite, you know, we have done about 10%. So X of UCB would be what, flat growth? And, you know, how do we look going forward? Has the NLEM hit us bad? Or if you could quantify, that would be helpful.
Well, there was 1 month of UCB, if I recall, last year. And... So it's not that it was not there. And initially, when you launch in branded markets, you load channels a little bit. So There's some impact of that. So if you net of that, maybe, you know, you can take about 5 or so as the net growth. Large part impacted by NLEM. As you know, the current IMS has dropped very substantially. And on the MQP basis, we are still leading the market, as I just mentioned. So overall, I think attractiveness of the market is down, but we'll have to be selective on launches, and we'll continue our journey.
So we remain confident of a double-digit growth for this year?
Well, it depends on, see, the NLEM, did we, 3-4 months back, did we know that a series of notifications will come in the market, more than just price impact, which is one aspect, that, you know, the whole channel got destabilized. Frequent changes, asking for immediate stamping, whole army of people continuously, you know, stamping new prices, etc. You know, some litigations in place. So all that has disturbed this quarter. Beyond that, I think it's settled down. So, yeah, we are still hopeful. Let's see. We are still hopeful. Low double-digit, yes.
Okay, thanks. I'll be in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kumar Saurabh from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, just wanted to understand on a normalized level, as in X of remediation cost, as well as, you know, any one-time hit, how should we look at the, you know, the base business margins? And by when do we expect to reach back to the normal levels of, you know, 20% plus kind of margins? Is it something that only after the Teva approvals we should go back, or do we think that we have, you know, products in our pipeline which could take us back to the margin levels where we were?
So normally we would be expecting north of 55% to be the margin of our base business. And in terms of the recovery, we were expecting the recovery to be in the second half. As we alluded earlier, we were reconciled to a decline in performance in both Q1 and Q2.
So I was mainly talking about the EBITDA margins because, you know, even below the gross margin levels.
The EBITDA margin mainly got impacted by the lower sales. If the sales are 500 crores more, that is a very significant impact on then the EBITDA margin going up.
Yeah, and also our SG&A cost as an absolute number also has gone up.
Yeah, so that will, remediation cost adjusted, it will be a little less. And as what Anil has talked from property products, that there is initial cost of new launch, but it will also get normalized.
Sure. Sir, by when do we expect these, you know, NDA products deliver the margins which our base business used to deliver?
Again, I will have to redirect this question to Anil. Would you like to take this?
Yes. Yeah, so again, I refer back to my earlier statement that with new launches, the initial period involves a lot of investment to build the market confidence and usage of the product. We actually expect to see a big ramp up to a lot of these investments that we are making starting later this year and into the following year. So we expect to have to see the benefits of all of this by late next fiscal.
And sir, how should we look at our, you know, U.S. sales for this year? As you said that our India business should, we are hoping that a low double-digit kind of growth we are expecting in India business. What kind of growth we should expect for the U.S. business, or the decline rather we should expect for the U.S. business?
Yeah, so the earlier one of the questions I was answering, you know, those expectation on the products will decide everything, you know, like for everyone, expectation of the product will decide everything. approval of the product. So you know, can't really answer. Not, I don't know. I mean, I can't give you the budget because we, on principle, we don't, you know, give you guidance on all that. But
sure.
We'll have to wait and watch.
Sure. Makes sense. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. We have the next question in line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yes, I had. Thanks for taking my question. So just on, you know, the numbers are actually a bit confusing, you know, the U.S. decline. Now, if you look at Valsite, you said, like, it's going from 120 to 40. So that's a quarterly drop of $20 million, which is much lower than, you know, $50 million that we've seen. I don't know, but Vidaza, we don't see Mylan or Actavis in the market yet as per IMS. And, you know, you would have taken some Valsite correction last quarter itself. So, you know, that's one thing. And, you know, the second thing is, if you look at the material cost to sales under the Ind AS, in fact, it has improved QOQ and remained flat year over year. So if the impact is because of pricing, we should have seen a significant correction in the gross margins, which hasn't happened. So it's very confusing, you know, as to
okay.
What's happening.
So, Saion, I think repeatedly this question is coming up. Let me give you a little more details on this. So on the OTC business, one was some seasonal correction. This was not the Fexo season, number one. Number two, there was, you know, some drop in the store brand Omeprazole as well. Whether this is very permanent or not, we'll have to see. But there is, you know, some bit of these things which are adding up. Dival-4X ER, we saw some significant reduction, but there's also positive news. That's why I was hesitant to give you a little bit. Dival-4X ER, I think we have won, looks like we have won back some of it, and it'll come back. So it's a mix of some of these things. These things continue to happen in U.S. market, right? And there are a whole host of other things. I'm not going into the details. So broadly, what is more worrying is the big assets have got impacted. The oral solids will see immediate impact. The injectables take a little bit of a time, although it will happen. And, you know, so that's the story in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and in terms of new launches, you know, in particularly in the U.S. market, how should we think about it? Because that's quite critical in terms of gaining back margins, etc. So you have said it will be stronger in the second half. Can you just indicate how many products we should think of, and also next fiscal year? So how is the pipeline looking in terms of approval?
So I said first half, which is another few months to go, we will see a few, one mid-sized and a few small, hopefully, depending on how, you know, we are ready for launch. Few are partnered, some of these products are partnered, and so that's the first half story. Second half story is we have got a few bigger assets, but whether it shows up in Q3, Q4, will, you know, not, it's not about the number of launches. Number of launches will happen. You know, there are quite a few settlements in, you know, in Q4. But they may or may not be very big, but the bigger ones, if one or two click, then the story changes very rapidly. But we'll have to wait, and so it's not, the story is not just in numbers. Numbers we will see. It's not like last year that we'll not have launches. We'll have launches. We'll keep announcing those as we go along. But what is the, you know, the which are the assets which finally go through is going to decide the destiny.
Right. So I mean, I'm just referring to, you know, the big assets. So you expect something this year, next year, and what's the certainty there? Is it all dependent on litigation, or is something which can, which you have enough visibility to say that it can happen this year?
One is in public domain, which is in litigation. You know, Aleve is in litigation. Barring that, the rest couple are not in litigation. These are difficult assets. Depends on how much time, how FDA looks at it, etc. And so we'll see.
And so any update on Copaxone 20 milligram, how far we have reached and what's the outlook there?
Trying to fast pace as much as possible, at least the DMF with the new process, the trial batch is over, the validation is starting. So DMF deficiency in about two and a half months or so, we'll try to sort of respond. The ANDA is much easier because it's just taking the batches and providing the stability. But the main thing is the DMF. At least the DMF will try and respond in that time frame, more or less in line with what I said earlier.
So once you respond, given that there's new guidance, when do you expect an approval then?
This is, again, your guess is as good as mine. This is guidance is there. We have done a lot of work. We can more or less assume that to the best of our capability, we have done a thorough job. Beyond that is the agency to sort of, look into.
Okay. Thanks a lot, and I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Nair from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just needed some clarification. So when you mentioned the McNeil contract going away, you said you gave a $25 million number. Is that the impact on revenues or the likely impact on revenues or on bottom line?
It's the bottom line.
Okay, and can you give some sense on what the revenue would be from that contract, which would go away?
No, we'll not go into those details at the moment.
Okay, all right. And secondly, on the R&D spend now, on a full year basis, where do you see it settling as a percentage of sales?
Well, it all will depend on sales. So it will be higher than the previous year because of additional R&D for Genoport and Isai.
All right.
That absolute amount will be, more or less in the same line outside these two.
Okay. And finally, on the remediation costs, so, I understand a lot of this will go away, but is there any part of this that would be recurring or would all of it ease off once?
Whatever remediation costs I have been telling, it is more in terms of the legal and professional. But if there are some manpower increase which happened as a part of remediation, those are there, and that has been already part of our,
Okay, yeah, but the number you mentioned, earlier in the call, that's for legal and professional
contracts.
All right, yeah, that's it from me. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we'll take our last two questions. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Can you help us understand a little bit more on how the Reditux launch commercialization in Russia is going to go forward? And in general, how do you look at the biosimilar programs for us, given that there's a lot of activity seems to be happening now, both on the U.S. and the European front?
So the big tender in Russia is in November, and you're more or less getting set to participate there. And, overall, we are much more cost-effective. The discussion with the health ministry and the government has gone very well. They're very appreciative of the fact that we have brought in savings into the healthcare. It's a big saving. So we are optimistic about the November participation in the November tender. And the other markets also, very actively we are moving ahead. We have, we have launched in quite a few markets, small markets, and there it's growing. But there are other emerging markets where very actively with the agency discussions are going on. I think we're seeing much more traction in the willingness to sort of let the file get in. So that's the emerging market story. And on the regulated markets, the journey with Merck Serono continues. As I mentioned last time, this is a little far away. So as far as the revenues impact is concerned, there is immediately there is nothing which needs to be factored in. But we would try to scale up as quickly as possible in emerging markets over the next, let's say, 8 to 10 quarters. We'll try to slowly start ramping up more.
Okay. What would be the size of our biologics business right now? I mean,
do you have the figure exactly?
Around $50 million.
Yeah.
And bulk of that right now would be coming from India.
No. In India, and also there are quite a few emerging markets where we are selling.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kartik Mehta from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Is there any update on the site transfer status of Gleevec? And if you could just maybe refresh us on some of the date or the quarter in which we should build in the number as per the settlement. Thank you. Bye.
Gleevec is site transferred and data submitted. So it's in the process of review. As we speak, there is a date given for the what's called TAD, and we're hopeful that we'll get through. But probably you must have heard Novartis's con call, which they mentioned that there will be probably a few people after the 6 months are over. So I don't know what that your guess would be as well as mine what that means.
Yeah, but in terms of, I just want to understand from you, Abhijit, in terms of the date of our the launch, which would have been settled, we should expect that we should be in the market on that date in terms of the site transfer being successful, right?
Yeah, hope so. So far, so good. And we expect launch in this financial year, is what I said probably last time.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the paucity of time, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the floor over to Mr. Sonak Savla for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you all for joining the call. And in case if you have any additional clarifications, feel free to reach out to the investor relations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dr. Reddy's Laboratories Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.